teachers, Ben Jennings here. I'm excited to start a new series with you. We just ended Exodus and Leviticus, and like that series, this series also covers multiple books. We're going into 1st and 2nd Peter and Jude over the next 13 weeks, and I hope you'll be on the ride with me along for the ride so that we can have a good time together and dive into these awesome letters. 1st and 2nd Peter and Jude are part of the epistles that were not Pauline. Yeah, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and then, of course, Revelation. And those were not written by the Apostle Paul, who dominated the rest of the New Testament. But it is written by Peter. 1st, 2nd Peter is written by Peter, who we have a lot of data on from the Gospels. He writes, according to verses 1 and 2, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And so he is writing, this is going out to multiple churches, diaspora, scattered abroad through this area known as Asia Minor, areas like Pontus, Galatia, like I said, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. And these guys were suffering big time. They were suffering a lot of persecution. That seems to be at least part of the motivation that Peter writes them. And he wants to give them hope. In fact, this is a big theme in the book of 1 Peter. And right here in the first section, we can say that in a objective statement that believers have hope. They have an actual hope. And there are three aspects of hope that help us strengthen our faith and bring glory to God. We're going to see three aspects of hope in this particular lesson that help us to bring glory to God and strengthen our faith. So let's read them. The first thing we find out about this hope that we have as Christians is that it's a living hope, And we see that in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Man, there's a lot we could say with this particular section, but the theme here was that we see that this hope is a living hope. Now, he does this praise that he gives to God here, as a way of introducing some truths about God that he's praising for. One is that he begot us again to a lively hope. Begotten has this idea of being born again. Our salvation is to something that is actual, that is real, that is living. I think it's interesting that he says, unto a lively hope. And how did this living hope come about? By the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Our living Savior has given us a living hope. It's a real hope. It's an authentic hope. It's one that's going to be actual. That was an important thing for people who are dealing with persecution to understand, is that this isn't just some theoretical thing that's going to happen in the future. This is an actual thing. It literally will be an inheritance, incorruptible. Incorruptible means not able, it's not going to die. Stuff that we have is corruptible. I have a car that has rust on it. It didn't have rust on it when it was bought new. There's corruption that happens to it. Everything's kind of fading in this life. The inheritance that we're going to have in heaven, there's no rust in heaven. There's no death in heaven. It's an awesome thing. He says this lively hope is the salvation that we have is to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, fade is not away. And where is it? It's reserved in heaven for us. And there's even hope there because one day we're going to get to go to heaven because we've been saved because of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We've been kept by the power of God through faith and salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. This salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, kind of points to the tenses of salvation. We were saved by God when he died on the cross and rose from the dead, in the sense that what was needed for our salvation happened for that. When we go from death to life, we are saved. And for me now, I was saved when I was 9 years old. I am being saved now. And one day I will realize that salvation fully. There are parts of it that I realize now. There are parts of it that I realized when I got saved. But there is this inheritance that comes, this living hope that's going to be actually revealed to us in heaven in the last time, when we get to go to heaven one day. It's going to be an amazing thing. So the first thing we see about hope is that it's a living hope, that it's actually a real, it's alive, it's in us, and it's not just some theoretical thing, it's living. The second thing we see is that it's an enduring hope. We see that verses 6-9. He says it's in this hope, essentially. It's in this salvation that's ready to be revealed. Verse 6, that we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. He's saying this hope is durable. It endures, even though not having realized this hope fully, we have it in the midst of difficulty, manifold temptations. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom he's talking about here, that this trial that we have is going to produce in us holiness. It's going to produce in us faith, greater faith. It's going to produce in us the ability to glorify God by that endurance. And that when Jesus comes back, it's going to glorify him. We also, he says, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with unspeakable joy, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I think the thing to be emphasized here, this is why we're saying that this hope is an enduring hope, is it's the kind of hope that we can have in the middle of trials that helps us to keep going, that helps us to endure while we're being grown. And this is what they were dealing with. They were dealing with persecution. They were dealing with manifold temptations. And Peter was just trying to show them that there is real joy, that we, because we believe in Christ, we can rejoice. We can have joy that we will have during the temptation, so that we can receive the salvation of our souls. It does salvation here again, meaning the full expression of what salvation and all that it means. We're not doing it to get saved. We are receiving the end of that faith, which is salvation ultimately. And so it's a real enduring hope. It's something that that can be with us during the difficulty. Then that leads us to this last aspect about hope, is that one day it will be realized. And it's in some ways realized now. We'll see in verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which is in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. What he's saying is, what the prophets hoped for, what the prophets looked to, this living hope, this resurrection hope, this hope that endures through difficulty, that came because Jesus was coming, that he would suffer and he died. This is the hope that we see and are dealing with now. This is what we are realizing now. He says in verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. What he's trying to help them to have hope in and to be encouraged by is that they have a unique position. It's unique because it's not something that they looked forward to like the prophets did. It's not something that they don't have yet that they are just looking forward to. There is part of that hope that they're realizing now. It's not like the angels who are looking, it says literally like, which things the angels desire to look into. There's this hope that is unique to their human experience that the angels don't even expect or don't even experience. And he's saying, this is what you are experiencing now, the redemption of your souls, knowing that Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and that there would be glory that would follow that. And so this is a realized hope. It's realized now, but it also will be realized one day. And so as you think about this lesson, as you think about all that could be said, man, there's a whole lot more that could be said, commentated on in these sections. But I think the idea of really looking at the theme and having an outline that supports that theme is really helpful, because people can't remember everything you're going to say on this text, but they can go back to the text, and they also can remember the essentially the subject, and that subject is hope. You're going to have people walking into your class this Sunday, and though they may be saved, though they may know Christ as their Savior, and all of these things are true about them, they may be like those people in this scattering of strangers that are dealing with temptation, they're dealing with struggle, they're dealing with persecution, they're dealing with difficulty, they're dealing with there being a cost for their faith, and they may be lacking in hope. And there is a sense that we have hope to come, but there's also hope for now. We have the Spirit living in us. We have the idea that Christ has risen from the dead, and all the realities that come with that as an actuality that we can look at and experience right now. And that's real solid hope. And so this week when you teach them, give them that hope. Help them to see that this isn't just some theoretical thing, that we can actually live lives of hope, trusting in Christ, not just for our salvation, but for our living. He is our living hope. I hope this helped you. I hope you really enjoyed this study that we're going to do on 1st and 2nd Peter and then into Jude. Have a great week, and do a great job on Sunday.